4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host Melody Cedarstrom and regular guest world-renowned economist Robert Chapman right here on firstamendmentradio.com and WBCQ shortwave at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner on the 23rd of August, 2005. Oh, boy. The mess, the created crisis, the controlled media, the situations we're put into, and the fact that we are not immune from disasters, and other countries are having their disasters. Created crises in many respects, most respects. And certainly that is essential to keep in mind today. The National Geographic Channel last night had a disinformation piece, a well-done disinformation piece about 9/11. Apparently it was a four-hour special. I only saw a portion of it. But once again, the strategy involved in all these Pearl Harbors, all these Gulf of Tonkin resolutions, keep in mind Homeland Security was created long in advance. It was entitled roadmap to national security. January 30th, I believe, 2001 was the date of its final draft of the roadmap for national security, talking about creating homeland security. So this is all very, very ominous to me, as it should be to most of us that are listening. And keep in mind, we connect a lot of dots to Pravda, because the Russian situation is most compelling to me as I've studied this most of my life. And I don't see any reason to trust Russia in this created Hegelian dialectic of having two sides to fight each other. And certainly we've been fighting each other for years. The Cold War actually was a scam. We had space partnerships in the 1970s during the heat of the Cold War. So we've been scammed upon, listeners. According to Pravda, dated the 19th, 4 years after September 11th attacks, the USA was hit by a great scandal. Congressman Kurt Weldon, the vice chairman of the House Armed Services and Homeland Security Committees, claimed that military intelligence had identified the names of suicide terrorists a year before the tragedy happened, but had not reported to the FBI or the CIA. Keep in mind, the FBI, CIA more than likely infiltrated Pravda, listeners. Quote, the U.S. intelligence knew that a group of terrorists from Al-Qaeda was in the USA in 2000, but this information was reported neither in the FBI nor the CIA, end quote, he said. According to Weldon, who is writing a book on 9/11, the intelligence group started collecting information about Al-Qaeda in 1999. The former intelligence officer, Anthony Schaefer, went public and said that in July 2000, the intelligence program entitled Able Danger identified Mohammed Atta, an Egyptian man who directed one of the airplanes to the Twin Towers in New York. Intelligence officers tried to brief the FBI, but the answer was, quote, because these guys are regarded as U.S. citizens, they should be provided with the same rights as you and me, end quote, said Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer. Oh, yeah, maybe so. We always have to abide by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I still am hearing feedback about violence in Texas regarding the migration under the guise of UN treaties that is happening south of us. California governor, or let's see, the Arizona governor and the New Mexico governor declared states of national emergency. Arnold, I don't know what he's doing, but he's an insider. Most of them are insiders. Have to march in lockstep to the orders in place. But Texas, I'm just hearing rumors of this. There's no documentation yet. Supposedly it's being suppressed. Back to this article from Pravda. Moreover, Schaefer claims that he sent the information to the September 11th Commission, but the latter did not include it into its final report. September 11th advocates, a group led by five women from New Jersey and Connecticut whose husbands died in the attacks, said that panel members failed, quote, failed in their obligation to the American public and to those who lost their lives in 9/11, end quote. They drew a conclusion that the 9/11 tragedy should have been prevented. The fact which attracts most attention is that the man who was navigating one of the planes, Mohammed Atta, fell under suspicion as early as in July 2000, but there were no measures taken. During the year preceding the tragedy, he succeeded in renting a house in Florida legally and in finishing courses in flying training. There's more to this. I just don't see any reason to give it more time. The fact of the matter is that they aren't connecting the proper dots. I always go back to the Soviet Union and their supply of arms to North Vietnam. The Soviet Union's and the jets and the air support for North Korea during the Korean War. We had some hellacious dogfights in the Korean War. Not many of us knew about that. Not many of us had any research into that today, except from the History Channel and the Military Channel on these different broadcasts. I just see so many directions in place, so many ominous situations apparent, and yet most people aren't paying attention. The price of gas is skyrocketing. Gas Price Watch is on our website on a permanent basis. It is there. Damming America by Dam Removal by Darren is there. There's much going on in the website, AmericanExpose.com. From the newspaper, the Liberty Observer and Guardian, August 2005. DRR CAFTA passes FTAA. Next. NAFTA jobs are listed in this issue. This is Norm Davis. And they say they have never done anything like this before or with their paper. However, due to the importance of the issue, the difference of opinion between our politicians and the people, and the decline of our nation's standard of living, we feel it is most important to cover this issue and give you a few facts that seem to be hidden. We're going to present you the facts, and you be the judge on why Congress votes to keep sending jobs out of this country. On June 16th, we sent to all the Kentucky congressmen and senators the following letter, along with a complete list of jobs lost in Kentucky due to NAFTA. This list totaled 46,781 Kentucky jobs lost due to NAFTA alone. You can access Norm Davis's website on state restoration, I believe it is. I'll have to check it out later. I'll let you know. So much on the website now. Once again, this list totaled 46,781 Kentucky jobs lost due to NAFTA. This does not count CAFTA, WTO, or any of the other treaties or agreements. And the letter is here. And I'm not going to read it to you, but it's to the Representative Ron Lewis. And maybe I should read you this. Let me change spectacles here. Oh, these are very dirty. Well, in the meantime, let's go to this Young Communist Call for Land Grab by Musha Shui Minari from IOL.co.za from Zimbabwe, listeners, in South Africa. The Young Communist League has called for land invasions if the Constitution is not amended to outlaw private ownership of land and to allow for nationalization. This is the same tenet of Agenda 21 that we should be concerned about, listeners. The League's national chairperson, David Masondo, said on Wednesday that there had to be an end to the, quote, sunset clause, end quote, that gave constitutional property and land rights to individuals. Quote, even if it means invasions, we need some kind of review, end quote, Masondo said. The League's National Secretary, Buti Manumila, said, quote, we believe there should be no private ownership of land in this country, end quote. Remember, Zimbabwe, the former Rhodesia, where John Coey gave his life for his country, thinking he was doing the right thing. He said this formed part of resolutions taken at the League's National Policy and Strategy Conference. Absolutely amazing. The League has also called for an inquest into the death of former South African communist leader Chris Hani, who was assassinated in 1993. The League said the convicted killers were not acting alone. Quote, the YCL will be calling on young people to sign a petition to the Department of Justice and various courts throughout the country to put pressure on this institution to launch an inquest, end quote, said Manemula. Quote, much more can be found on who the real killers are and those who were involved in the conspiracy to assassinate him, end quote, he said. And certainly, how much do we know about this situation? Slim and none, huh? The Truth and Reconciliation Commission denied Janusz Wallace and Clive Derby Lewis amnesty for Hani's killing. They are currently serving life sentences. Dated August 18, 2005, young communists call for land grab on the website AmericanExpose.com. Sad commentary for all. Sad commentary for all. Let's move to this. Back to the Liberty Observer and Guardian, August 2005. And this letter regarding the GATT WTO by Norman Davis to their representative Ron Lewis. And what he sent them are jobs lost by Kentuckians due to NAFTA. How many more of these free trade agreements are you going to support just to bring in a few dollars for those of us in the rural farming areas of Kentucky? If the manufacturing workers don't have a job, they can't buy our farm products here at home and in other countries, sure can't keep our Kentucky farms afloat. I urge you to consider all Kentuckians and vote no on any future trade bills that claim free trade status. Let's have some fair trade for a change. As a suggestion, perhaps a reciprocal trade policy would be best for America and the country of America. If a nation charges 25% tariffs on our products, we do the same on theirs. You may verify the list of jobs due to those grossly unfair trade agreements at the following links, and he has them here. It's a rather lengthy website. You will find the total number of jobs listed as lost are 46,781. These are just Kentuckians out of work. I can't even imagine how many total Americans there are out of work due to these agreements. Please, enough. No more trade agreements unless reciprocal or fair in some manner. So I continue with this article from the Liberty Observer and Guardian. You can link to their website, www.thelog.us. That's thelog.us. It continues, as we stated, we also spent sent a 22-page list of lost Kentucky jobs. This list included company, product made, location, number of employees displaced, and where the company relocated to. To this date, the only persons to have heard from are Congressman Lewis and Senator McConnell. Both are Republicans, both supported and voted for this agreement. McConnell tells us in his letter that he supports it because it has resulted in over 100,000 jobs coming to Kentucky, over 64,000 of those manufacturing. And they have the letter here on page 2. Lewis, in his letter of July 22, 2005, tells us that, quote, DR, and that's Dominican Republic, DR CAFTA, will eliminate tariffs on 50% of U.S. exports immediately and most of the remaining duties within 15 years. This will benefit Kentucky's beef, pork, feed grain, soybean, and wheat producers, end quote. Lewis further states DR CAFTA levels the playing field for U.S. workers. I heard that. I heard Henry Kissinger say that way back in 1994 with NAFTA. But our level of living is to go down. And here it is 10 years later, plus. In closing, DR CAFTA presents another opportunity for U.S. to knock down barriers, open markets, level the playing field, and engage in the new global marketplace. This is Congressman Lewis' letter on page 2, stating as to all the good things this agreement has supposed done, including how it will strengthen freedom and democracy, listeners. That word, democracy. What a regurgitatory word, democracy. In short, this means many new opportunities for U.S. farmers and workers. Our products, the result of hardworking Americans, are the best in the world. No one can compete with us if we are given a fair opportunity. With 96% of the world's consumers living outside the U.S., international trade is key to economic growth. 96%, I see. But where are they getting their money to pay for our products that we manufacture here that are going to cost more because we have a higher standard of living? There is the biggest problem of all, listeners. The biggest problem of all. according to Congressman Lewis, we wish to make it perfectly clear that we are not picking on Representative... Well, actually, this is a thank you to Congressman Lewis for his response. And they want to make it perfectly clear that they are not picking on Representative Lewis, as he is to be the to be commended for having the courage to answer his letters, even if it is a form letter. Congressman Lewis has basically a decent voting record on the issues. They have, to this date, not been afforded the same convictions or courage by the other Kentucky congressman and congressional lady. And they are confident that those that did not answer have the same convictions about the agreement, but not the courage to put their answer to public scrutiny. And that's most amazing in itself. Joan Vion's predicted FTAA will be a done deal in her book when she wrote it in 1999. The loss of our jobs and industry is a planned scenario of the UN system. This is what we're living today, listeners. This is the whole scam in place. It's called the Royal Scam. I go on with this article. Let's deal with this. Well, I don't know whether we should waste the time. I just don't know what to say at this juncture. There's so much going on. And it doesn't do any good to just sit here and figure out what I'm going to do next. Here we see from allafrica.com, U.S. to provide additional food aid to Africa, dated August 18th. The United States will provide an additional 73,500 metric tons of food aid to Southern Africa, enough to feed more than 5 million people for 1 month, the U.S. Agency for International Development said. That's U.S. aid, listeners. On a news release issued recently, U.S. aid said that the administration has decided to send more food based on the concern that poor harvest and worsening economic conditions will lead to widespread hunger in countries such as Lesotho, Malawi, Mozambique, Swaziland, Swaziland, Zambia, and Zimbabwe, former Rhodesia. Additional supplies of bulgur wheat, cornmeal, sorghum, peas, beans, and vegetable oil will reach the target areas through the UN World Food Program, it said. Oh, boy. Leave the UN to come to the rescue, as the Hegelian dialectic shows itself on a daily basis, in my opinion, as I do my research. What about you and your research? The WFP hailed U.S. decision as the U.S. is among the first donors to respond effectively to the needs of millions of people, especially vulnerable children, before their needs become critical. The point is, this will continue unless they're given the opportunity to grow their own food, unless drought inducement is stopped. And that's sort of what I think at this point. Drought inducement is stopped. That's certainly what I think. Oh, man. To not realize that weather modification is a reality, that aerial spraying and aerosol operations are a reality, is like living in a closet, in my thoughts. Kenya, to get $35 million from China, and way back in February 14th of 2005, this is very relevant today, states mulling taxing drivers by mile. College student Jason just commutes an odometer spinning 2,000 miles a month, as CBS correspondent Sandra Hughes reports. This monthly gas bill once topped his car payment. I was just paying about $500 a month, says Just. Jason Just. So Just bought a fuel-efficient hybrid, said goodbye to his gas-guzzling Beamer. And what kind of mileage does he get? quote, the EPA estimate is 60 in the city, 51 on the highway, he said. And that saves him about $300 a month in gas. Of course, keep in mind the cost of the vehicle. Of course, he was selling a high-dollar vehicle, so who knows what that turned out to be. It's great for just, but bad for the roads he's driving on, because he also pays a lot less in gasoline taxes, which fund highway projects and road repairs. As more and more hybrids hit the road, cash-strapped states are warning of rough roads ahead. Officials in car-clogged California are so worried they may be considering a replacement for the gasoline tax altogether, replacing it with something called tax by the mile. Seeing tax dollars dwindling, neighboring Oregon has already started road testing the idea. Quote, drivers will get charged for how many miles they use the roads, and it's as simple as that, end quote, says engineer David Kim. Kim and fellow researcher David Porter at Oregon State University equipped a test car with a global positioning device to keep track of its mileage. Eventually, every car would need one. Quote, so if you drive 10 miles, you will pay a certain fee, which will be, let's say, one-tenth of what someone pays if they drive 100 miles, end quote, says Kim. The new car tax will be charged each time you fill up. A computer inside the gas pump would communicate with your car's odometer to calculate how much you owe. The system could also track how often you drive during rush hour and charge higher fees to discourage peak use. Isn't that amazing? Once again, the system could also track how often you drive during rush hour and charge higher fees to discourage peak use. Oh, yes. Global positioning satellites, a great thing, aren't they? That's an idea that could break the bottleneck on California freeways. There's people driving hundreds of miles into L.A. from Hesperia, Victorville, Apple Valley, Barstow. They spend most of their life behind the wheel of a car. 2.5 hours or 2 hours sometimes to get to work. 2.5 hours sometimes longer to get home. Absolutely insane. They had to drive that far to get to work because it's too expensive to live in the city. And it's also taken over by foreigners. The UN system in place. When everybody talks about the New World Order, listeners, very simple. The New World Order is the UN system. It's very, very simple. So when you hear the New World Order, it is the UN system. I'll exemplify that momentarily. Let's get back to this one. Quote, we're getting a lot of interest from other states, in quote, says Jim Witte of the Oregon Department of Transportation. Quote, they're watching what we're doing. Transportation officials across the country are concerned about what's going to happen with the gas tax revenues. Oh, my. Be back to continue this broadcast on First Amendment Radio. Stay with me. I'm Chris Kerner. We will be back.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Notice, FirstAmendmentRadio.com is changing satellites. The service on Galaxy 13 will be ending August 31st. Service is now up and available on Telstar 5 KU band. Visit the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage for more information. Notice, FirstAmendmentRadio.com is changing satellites. The service on Galaxy 13 will be ending August 31st. Service is now up and available on Telstar 5 KU band. Visit the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage for more information.
Be sure to listen to The Church at Kaweah every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. Pacific Time. The Church at Kaweah is a Lordship Church under the sole authority of Jesus Christ. You may contact The Church at Kaweah by calling 559-561-4860. That's 559-561-4860. And let them know how much you're being blessed. Thank you.
To connect dots tonight. States mull taxing drivers by the mile. From CBS Evening News, dated February 28, 2005. Highly relevant today, I'd say, as I conclude with this article. According to Jim Witte of the Oregon Department of Transportation, quote, we're getting a lot of interest from other states. They're watching what we're doing. Transportation officials across the country are concerned about what's going to happen with the gas tax revenues, end quote. Privacy advocates say it's more like Big Brother riding on your bumper, not to mention a disincentive to buy fuel-efficient cars. Quote, it's not fair for people like me who have to commute, and we don't have any choice but take the freeways, says this this man named Just. We shouldn't have to be taxed, end quote. But tax by mile advocates say it may be the only way to ensure that fuel efficiency doesn't prevent smooth sailing down the road. Once again, but tax by the mile advocates say it may be the only way to ensure that fuel efficiency doesn't prevent smooth sailing down the road. Highly relevant information today, as gas is more expensive now than any time in history. Gas is going to rise in the long run. Gas continues to rise. It will never go back down. It's just the way it is. I'm so sorry to be the reporter of this dismal information, and we continue to succumb to what we're told. dated the 8th, or the 18th, actually, of August. Out of Nairobi, the Kenyan government announced on Wednesday, take that gum out of your mouth, that it had secured more than $35 million in grants and concessional loans from China, that's communist China, listeners, during a state visit to Beijing by President Maui Kibaki. Kibaki's office said in a statement released that China had agreed to give Kenya an outright grant of $7.9 million and a $26.4 million low-interest loan for development projects. The grant will finance economic and cooperation projects to be determined, and the loan is intended to improve Kenya's power distribution network. In addition, the statement said that 5 accords had been signed during Kibaki's visit, including one granting Kenya's flag carrier, Kenya Airways, leading rights in several Chinese cities. Since Kenya and China, this is a quote, established a diplomatic relations in 1963, China has been a dependable and good friend of Kenya, end quote, Kibaki told Chinese President Hu Jintao, according to the statement. China has increasingly expanded financial and commercial ties with African nations in recent years, and Kenya has not been exempt from the phenomenon, with bilateral trade with China jumping 46% since 2003, according to official statistics. Ah, yes. And the beat goes on. Communist China, Soviet Russia, as I like to call it, because the Soviet Union collapsed for our consumption, our dumbing down process, continues at this date and time. This direction continues on a daily basis. And yet we're being crimped and maneuvered on the website, on the left side, a new entry, one of Dennis's findings. End of suburbia, oil depletion, and the collapse of the American dream. According to John Howard Kunstler, quote, we're literally stuck up a cul-de-sac in a cement SUV without a fill-up, end quote. Since World War II, North Americans have invested much of their newfound wealth in suburbia. It has promised a sense of space, affordability, family life, and upward mobility. As the population of suburban sprawl has exploded in the past 50 years, so too has the suburban way of life become embedded in the American consciousness. Suburbia, and all its promises, has become the American dream. But as we enter the 21st century, serious questions are beginning to emerge about the, here it is, there's that word, sustainability of this way of life. With brutal honesty and a touch of irony, The End of Suburbia explores the American way of life and its prospects as the planet approaches a critical era. As global demand for fossil fuels begins to outstrip supply, world oil peak, and the inevitable decline of fossil fuels are upon us now. Some scientists and policymakers argue in this documentary, The End of Suburbia, people. You can order that on the website, AmericanExpose.com. The consequences of inaction in the face of this global crisis are enormous. What does peak oil mean for North America as energy prices skyrocket in the coming years? How will the populations of suburbia react to the collapse of their dream? The Hegelian dialectic again. Are today's suburbs destined to become the slums of tomorrow? And what can be done now, individually and collectively, to avoid the end of suburbia? Hosted by Barry Zwicker, featuring James Howard Kunstler, Peter Calthrop, Michael Clare, Richard Henberg, Matthew Simmons, Michael C. Rupert, Julian Darley, Colin Campbell, Kenneth Dreyfuss, Ali Sampson, produced by Barry Silverthorne, and 78-minute long tape, VHS or DVD, End of Suburbia. Well, it's something we should all get, I'm sorry to say. because it's most necessary in this day and time. I'm just so sorry, as I've been apologizing for our country for my entire life. And don't ever forget Korea and Vietnam. Don't ever forget it. The press will let you forget it. Everybody else will let you forget it. But you can't forget what's happening right now in the Middle East. We have no clue who your enemy is. No clue at all whatsoever. You have billions of dollars being spent on this new Vietnam War. What did Saddam Hussein's Republican Guard troops do when we invaded Iraq? They took their uniforms off and they burned them to the crisp. No telltale signs of Saddam Hussein's military, his Republican Guard. So what do? They put on their civilian garb and intermingled with the civilian population. Who's supplying the insurgents, the quote-unquote insurgents, with their weapons? Russia. Communist China, more than likely. We'll never get to the bottom of that one because there's too much documentation about North Vietnam being supplied by the Ruskies and Communist China. So, billions of dollars are being spent in this new war. We are suffering in America. And here we see from the LA Times, dated August 11th, motorist got a barrel full of bad news Wednesday when oil prices soared to a new high. Gasoline set another record in California, and the Department of Energy warned that pump prices could remain above $2 a gallon through much of next year. You've got to be joking. The latest round of woe was spurred by a spat of refinery problems in the U.S., increasing instability in the Middle East, and a growing imbalance between demand for petroleum, which is rising rapidly, and production capacity, which isn't. After briefly touching $65 a barrel, the U.S. benchmark crude closed at a record $64.90, up $1.83, or almost 3% on the New York Mercantile Exchange. That was up 46% from a year ago and boded ill for motorists already paying sky-high prices for gasoline, which also hit a new national record Wednesday. What is this going to do? Increase the cost of everything, listeners. This is a permanent entry on the website, AmericanExpose.com, as is Gas Price Watch. Gas Price Watch, a permanent entry on the left side of AmericanExpose.com. Very, very important to keep this in mind. This is an internet satellite broadcast, so most of you are listening on computers. You have to go to the U.S. House of Representatives, the Office of Legislative Counsel, to learn how our laws are being made. And it's a ghostwriter's view by Sandra Strokoff, Assistant Counsel, Office of the Legislative Counsel, U.S. House of Representatives. It's absolutely remarkable information, people. It's a new permanent entry on AmericanExpose.com. Darren and myself were up till 5:30 in the morning easing the website so Dennis can do his excellent work. Absolutely incredible what's going here, people. Just incredible information being presented by Dennis. Also remember, Executive Order 13123, greening the government through efficiency energy management. Executive Order 13123, June 3rd, 1999, by the authority vested in me as well. Let's just move on to this. The federal government, as the nation's largest energy consumer, shall significantly improve its energy management in order to save taxpayer dollars and reduce emissions that contribute to air pollution and global climate change. Taxpayer dollars are trying to save taxpayer dollars. Well, how about bringing our troops home? Absolutely insane. Here we see panelists who dissents on climate change quit, dated August 23rd by Andrew Refkin from the New York Times, people, a scientist who has long disagreed with the dominant view that global warming stems mainly from human activity, has resigned from a panel that is completing a report for the Bush administration on temperature trends in the atmosphere. A scientist, Roger A. Pilkey, senior, a climatologist at Colorado State University, said most of the other scientists working on the report were too deeply wedded in particular views and were discounting minority opinions on the quality of climate records and possible causes of warming. Quote, when you appoint people to a committee who are experts in an area but evaluating their own work, he said in an interview, it's very difficult for them to think outside the box of their research, end quote. Administration officials said the resignation would not affect the quality or credibility of the report, a draft of which is being finished in the next few weeks. The report, the first product of President Bush's 10-year climate change research program, is likely to be closely scrutinized by climate scientists and environmental and industry groups for any sign of bias or distortion. Its main focus is to explore why thermometers at the Earth's surface, especially in the tropics, have measured more warming than has been detected by satellites and weather balloons in the troposphere, the layer of the atmosphere up where jetliners cruise. Dr. Pilkey contends that changes in landscapes like the spread of agriculture and cities could explain many of the surface climate trends, while most climate experts now see a clear link to accumulating emissions of heat-trapping gases like carbon dioxide. I see. James R. Mahoney, an Assistant Secretary of Commerce and the Director of the Federal Climate Research Program, said the scientists involved in generating the report were representative of broad views, end quote, on the question. Mr. Maloney noted the drafts of the climate report would be reviewed by the National Academy of Sciences and were subject to public comment. There's more to this. You can access it on the site AmericanExpose.com. Keep in mind, the United Nations publications is a permanent entry into the website AmericanExpose.com. Very, very important to connect these dots, people. Highly important information. Everywhere you look on the website, extremely important information. From Russia, statement, national consultations in Russia, Rio Plus 5, which has been achieved. It's a progress on the implementation of the results of the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development in Rio, June 1992. During the 5 years past since the UN Conference on Rio and Concept of Sustainable Development got widely known and acquired many reporters all over the world, the same applies to Russia, but in a smaller degree. Though immediately after the conference, the mass media did not publish much on the conference. Gradually, information started being spread, and an abridged version of Agenda 21 was published in Russian. It got widely spread, and the demand for this publication is not satisfied yet, especially in its full version. Spirit of Rio brought to life new dimensions dealing with sustainable development. Like the magazine Towards Sustainable Development, it is very popular among readers. New organizations specializing in problems of sustainable development were created and developed. Special programs of discussions of political leaders of the country on the application of ideas of sustainable development in Russia were shown on national TV. Problems of sustainable development became part of the official policy formulated at the highest national level, which is considered most important achievement in the realization of the decision of UNCED. That's the UN Conference on Environment and Development, UNCED, in this country, Russia, listeners. In February 1994, President Boris Yeltsin signed the decree N-236, quote, on the state strategy of the Russian Federation on environmental protection and sustainable development, end quote, by which he instructed the government of Russian Federation to work out the concept of transition of Russia to sustainable development. absolutely amazing stuff, people. Russia and sustainable development and Agenda 21. It's the point I've been making all along. Every country has a UN Agenda 21. Every country, every communist country, every quote-unquote free country has an Agenda 21. They also have limits to growth. They have mandates for population reduction, according to the pre-Earth Charter document that we have on our website. Very, very important to keep this in mind, listeners. And then we lead to Chemtrails Out of the Closet by William Thomas, dated August 17th of this year, nearly 7 years after extensive laydowns of lingering and spreading white plumes were first reported, smearing skies over across North America. Europe is in an uproar, and Washington could be close to coming clean about chemtrails. At least the Bush White House will soon have a legitimate weather control agency to finally launder one of the biggest cons ever perpetrated. Introduced in the U.S. Senate March 1, 2005, Bill S-517 calls for a U.S. quote, Weather Modification Advisory and Research Board, end quote, to officially commence operations in October 2005. When passed as expected, this law will make large-scale chemical alteration of the atmosphere legal across a formerly free and beautiful land called America. And it's already happening, listeners. Less than 2 weeks before the bill was introduced, Linda wrote from, quote, up here in the mountains of northeast Georgia, end quote, of the worst spray day she had ever seen. Quote, not one day in the past 2 months have we had a blue sky with normal clouds, end quote, Linda wrote. Even normal clouds, quote, were laced with whatever the hell is coming out of those white planes, she says, white planes that have no engine sounds. Even when they fly low enough to see, there's no printing anywhere on the planes, end quote. Several years ago, the U.S. Air Force stated that it was repainting its silver aircraft white and retrofitting its jet tanker fleet with hush kits to silence their engines. Whatever fresh environmental disaster Bill S-517 accomplishes, this bill will ease the way for admission of a project suspected by many and confirmed by air traffic controllers at America's biggest airports. When and if the U.S. public demands that their government do something about the extreme weather plummeting their neighborhoods, Washington will be able to officially reply, we are. Intended to develop, quote, develop and implement a comprehensive and coordinated national weather modification policy, end quote, the board is tasked with coordinating state and federal weather modification efforts. Its direct mandate is stepped up research and development aimed at developing experimental models, quote, models, devices, equipment, materials, and processes, end quote, to change or control, quote, by artificial methods, end quote, the development of clouds and or precipitation in the stratosphere. The weather-forming region of the atmosphere lies between Earth's surface and the stratosphere, starting around 35,000 feet. The federal weather modifiers will now directly oversee the cloud seeding operations currently being carried out over dozens of states to increase rain and snowfall for irrigation, electrical power, and winter recreation purposes. As droughts intensify under an onslaught of moisture-absorbing chemicals dispensed behind ozone-destroying jet tankers, the future towns wash away in sudden flash floods triggered by rain-inducing atmospheric tinkering. These unnatural disasters and their inadvertent effects of weather modification will be closely studied by the newly created board. But no studies have been released on the implications of wide-scale alteration of regional atmospheric heat imbalances. Large-scale weather modification is banned under the United Nations Environmental Modification Convention signed by Washington in 1970. Meanwhile, recent heavy chemtrail spraying over Portland, Oregon and Canada's west coast has eased off once again. Another long-time chemtrail hot zone, Santa Cruz, California, continues reporting clear blue skies unmarked by the chem plane's ugly scrawl. As recently as May 2005, a Swiss resident sent photographs to Mara Heller's website reporting, quote, "Today was one of the heaviest spraying in Switzerland ever," end quote. Some Canadians also have their eyes wide open. In June 2005, large graffiti spray painted on a major overpass in West Vancouver advised motorists, "Wake up, look up, chemtrails are everywhere." A senior active duty Air Force insider has described environmental combat missions already being flown by specifically outfitted C-130 Hercules transports, which can be reloaded, refueled, and relaunched in just 10 minutes to continue their assault on violent storms afflicting U.S. communities. Flown by regular Air Force pilots, these science flights, quote-unquote science flights, include onboard meteorologists who painstakingly log the results of each mission. Big storm fronts and hurricanes require a vast amount of absorbent chemicals to reduce their destructive power. To achieve the fast turnaround times needed to complete their missions, flights of returning C-130s taxi to a stop and immediately commence refueling as the empty onboard spray canister is removed. As soon as the empty canister is clear of the aircraft, a waiting truck wheels a semi-trailer-sized container of sky-seeding chemicals to the plane's lower rear ramp, where it is slid inside the rails like a gigantic soda dispenser. The Air Force insider added that other spray missions spread barium chemicals to facilitate 3D radar mapping of the entire continental United States. He also said that the Air Force has been spraying storm fronts for a long time, quote unquote, for a long time. The military main interest, he added, is experimentation aimed at gaining control of weather for military use. Owning the weather 2025? I would say it's more likely owning the weather 2005, listeners. Agenda 21, under full operation, 13 years into placement, and most people don't even know it exists. That is our responsibility, to wake people up about the 40 chapters of Agenda 21, including Information for Decision Making, Chapter 40. Good night. God bless you all.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church. The whole